We've promised to discover for you one of the greatest laws of God, perhaps to the Christian, and of course always involving the sinner, but to the Christian, the answer to the question, why am I not healed? Why are so many of my prayers unanswered? Now, I know that I have stuck my neck out 100 miles when I promised to answer that question. But I'm going to answer it. There is an answer. And I'd like you to look with me into the 6th chapter of the book of Luke for a few moments. And we're going to listen to the words of Jesus himself as he begins to tell us and unfold to us the basic principle of this law. Hear the very words of the Son of God, not of some bright scholar, not of some super intellect, not of some great theologian, but the very words of him who will obey and is obligated to move in his own law. We're going to begin reading, back at the 27th verse, will you please, of the 6th chapter of the book of Luke. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them that hate you. Right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus begins to change the tact of his message, and he begins to involve every listener with an equation or a balance of thought. And if you'll be careful to listen, you'll hear this now begin to weave itself through his tremendous discourse here in the 6th chapter of the book of Luke. Bless them that curse you. See, on the one hand, you're going to be a blesser. The counterbalance, you have a curser. But bless them that curse you. And pray for them that despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the cheek, offer the other one, so that he has two cheeks to smite. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take away thy coat also. I wonder how many times people's houses have been broken into and they stole the television. So you put the icebox out in front and say, take this next. Huh? Oh my, these laws of God are pretty fun. They're peculiar laws. If somebody demands your coat, give him your cloak also. What does he say? For if you love them which love you, what thank have you? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners do even the same. And if you lend to them with the hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But... now watch the balance. Love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the what? Yes, children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Now watch the crescendo as it builds. Be you therefore merciful, full of mercy, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Look at the balance. Absolutely. For every cause here, there he says there is an effect. Let's read it again. Judge not. If you don't judge, you won't be judged. If you condemn not, you won't be condemned. And it says, forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Cause and effect. Cause and effect. Now, the 38th verse, we find our text. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give unto your bosom, period. And everybody stops right there. But the verse doesn't stop right there. For with the same measure that you meet, withal it shall be measured to you again. Oh. So the cause has an equality with the effect. There is a relevance here. What I do, I can find happening back to me. Look at it again. Remember, this is not a good theological discourse. These are the words of the Son of God, who has to react to his own law. For with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. We have a few things here on the platform that I would like to show you. Most everybody in the room knows what I have in my hand. I mean, when I pull it out, you know what I have. I would not like to have some things measured back to meet again on this basis. How many know what this means? These are measuring spoons, you know? And we have lots of Christians that want to give this much and get this much back. And complain and bellyache and even charge God because they say he doesn't keep his word. I prayed. The whole church prayed. But Jesus has tried to tell us, and in a minute you're going to see the most fantastic truth in God's word, one of them. With the same measure that you gave, it shall be measured, the Bible says, right back to you again. Well, so much for that. I don't like them. Most of you have been to an ice cream store, and the scoops seem to get littler all the time, and the cones get bigger, you know. Another measuring element. And oh, man, when you get up to camp and you have that luscious homemade soup, that's not any too big, is it? No. But wait a minute. With what measure you meet, it's going to be measured to you again. Did you know that there aren't very many people could eat this much? Oh, yeah, this much. Not much problem. But look at this capacity. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. Oh, we have something bigger in here. I know you can't eat this much. If you can, come up afterwards and we'll rebuke that devil. No. But wait a minute. There is a law of the Spirit of God that God himself has obligated himself to, and he can't break his own law. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And some people would like this measure, and there's a couple bigger ones out there in the kitchen if you would like them. They're there. Let's go over to the scales. This is part of our new teaching equipment. Down for the preschool and the kindergarten. If we had this connected tonight, you could see that on the front, when you put the wrong equal or equality of the weights, every one of these weigh exactly the right amount, so that when you put the right combinations together, the signs on the front will show that you have equaled. But if you put the wrong combinations together, they don't equal, because they don't balance. So here we have a 4. Whew, and it weighs quite a bit, and we have a 3. But wait a minute, right here, and it weighs as much as the 4 and the 3 is a 7. See there? And this is to teach the children that there are different measurements, and that these measurements all have a different quantity. And we'll teach them that 4 and 3 is 7, or here's a 5 and a 2 that would equal 7, and we have 1s and 2s and 3s and 4s, and all of these teach the great, great problems of adding and subtracting and multiplying and so forth. But wait a minute. There are a lot of people that are giving 3, but they want 7 back. And Jesus himself said, remember these words, with exactly the measure you meet, it's going to be measured to you again. I know you don't like that. No. The world today is a gimmick world. One of the most popular world programs in the world today is Let's Make a Deal. Plug. We'll see if we can collect on that a little later. And you know, people watch that to the nth degree. I know a businessman right here in town that will not be disturbed during his lunch hour because he plans his lunch hour to watch Let's Make a Deal. Sure. He can't hardly get over the fact of all of this, all of these things that are given away for nothing. And we find that the world today is looking for the gimmick, looking for something for nothing. Go out to Santa Anita any afternoon that you want of this next week, and you'll find not the crowds that are inside the church. You'll find the tens of thousands of people willing to give away something. Why? Because they hope to get something that back that they didn't give in. And it becomes a craze. But that same spirit that governs the world today to go to the betting tracks and the race tracks and to go to the betting parlors and to the dice tables and the card tables is the spirit that invades the church because it's a universal spirit. I want to get back more than what I put in. Jesus said, I'm sorry. It don't work that way. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. Let's look at Ephesians, the 4th chapter. And we discover, after I have taught the book of Ephesians, I love the book of Ephesians. I think it speaks a depth of maturity to my heart that has always been very exciting. But I want you to listen, and we're going to start reading with the first verse, and we're going to take the first 13 verses of this book, this chapter 4. Read. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Oh, I thought everything was free. No. He said, walk worthy and watch the balance of the vocation of which for which you are called. With all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, there is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Now watch, after he's made all of that great introduction, he comes with that little three-letter word that changes everything. But even though God is in you all, even though there is one faith, even though there is one baptism, even though God is in you all and through you all, he says, but, now watch, but unto how many people? So I found out that every Christian is involved with this formula, this law of God. But every one of you is given grace. Now look at my way, please. Let's don't finish the scripture until we find first this. Every prayer that we pray involves the grace of God. Starting right from the sinner's prayer. There's not a person in this world that deserves eternal life. No. There's not a person in this world that has a right to all of the glory of God except for the grace of God. Not one person. So everything we ask for, whether it's forgiveness of sins, whether it be for the healing of our bodies, whether it be for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, whether it be for the change of circumstances and the blessing of our businesses or whatever it may be, it all is a manifestation of the grace of God. God blesses you in spite of you, but he will bless you because of you. Now watch the formula. But unto everyone is given grace. That's what we all want. Oh, Lord, heal me. Oh, Lord, deliver me. Oh, Lord, help me. And we're all applying every day of the year for his grace. But wait a minute. Unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure, and that's our text, of the gift of Christ. Now, I have reversed that. I have to apologize to you. I have reversed that verse and made it say what it doesn't say. because I lifted it out of its context. Because if we read on, we discover that God is talking about the ministries of the church and of the purposes of God. He goes on a little bit further on and he says apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And God has regulated himself or relegated himself that he should impart himself even to the saving of the world through these channels: evangelists, pastors, teachers, apostles, prophets. God has obligated himself to come through you as a channel. Now watch, watch. I would like to some way, I wish there was a scale that could measure the dimension of the greatness of God in you. If you went to measure the weight of it, there isn't a scale or a computer that could measure how great God and how much he weighs in you. If there was to be a tape measure, a ruler, the Bible says that if you measured the heavens, and today on the news there was a man that has just discovered a new way to put an attachment on the 200-inch telescope. Until now we're looking out into the universe 6 billion light years away. And the light that he now has taken pictures of started from those stars, so at a time where he thinks 6 billion years ago. Light years. Think, you know, you can't think of it. That staggers the imagination. But the Bible says that the heaven of heavens can't contain him. That's the size of the God that's in you. That's the dimension of the Lord that's in you. Man, we can look north, south, east, west. We can look up. We can look down. We can look all around us and see the tremendous activity of Satan. We can see him in the kingdoms of the north and the kingdoms of the south. We can see him in the drug scene and in the immorality. We can see him in the politics. We can see him every place. But Jesus says, he that's in you is bigger than he that's in the world. How about measuring that? When you take a look at the size of Satan and his activities in every dimension of mankind, that'll take one little look on the inside and find out that he that's in you is greater than he that's in the world. I think we better praise him right there. We better praise him. But let's get back to our law. What did the Lord say? In the measure that you give, and he's not talking about money only by any means, it's going to be measured back to you again. Grace is given unto every man according to the measure of how we give out Christ. This has revolutionized my thinking. I thought, all I have to do is pray. And perhaps because I'm your pastor, and because I'm the pastor of the radio stations and the television station, I'm asked to pray more than most of you. And so in my catalog, I've got more unanswered prayers than you've got. So I can put myself in this same category. But look what it says. Grace, the thing that you want, is going to be according to the measure of what you give. There it is. Wow, what a statement. And the proof is that the ministries to the church are the very next verses. What of Jesus are you willing to give away? In case you forget, in case you might think that Brother Shock is out in left field, I'm going to put you right in right field. For back in Matthew, the 18th chapter, we read some very shocking words. A story that I don't like, but it was told by the Son of God. And I would like to read it to you. We begin with the 23rd verse. I'm sorry we can't take more of the chapter, but the rest of the chapter is almost like the sixth chapter of the book of Luke, and our time is getting away. So we're going to begin with the 23rd verse. Therefore, is the kingdom of heaven, the very thing that we all enjoy confessing that we're a part of, is likened unto a certain king which took account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. Now the Bible deliberately tells this fantastic figure because he wants to illustrate the fact that it would be almost impossible for this man to ever pay. In today's market, we're talking about many hundreds of thousands of dollars. Many hundreds of thousands. He owed him an unpayable sum. Now remember, we have just read grace. Grace. The gift is equal to grace. Watch. And when he had begun to reckon, he brought unto him one which owed him 10,000 talents, but for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, in payment to be made. Now I want you to listen to this. I don't like the story, but I have to be faithful to the text. Did you know that Jesus is saying that if the right method isn't used, the king will put you into a terrible situation? Oh, but I thought that all I had to do was pray and then it got worse. Yeah. It says here that the king ordered him, listen, the king ordered him to be put into, and his commanded him to be sold, to become a slave of somebody else. And his wife and children and all they had to be sold. What a mess. Whew. Here they had a nice free family. They enjoyed liberty. They enjoyed lots of fellowship with everybody round about. And God said, look, fella, you owe me something. Sell them every bit. I told you I didn't like the story, but it's here. What happens? Then the Lord of that servant was moved. No, the servant therefore fell down. And what did he do? According to our morning text, the infinite, the almighty, he worshiped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And I want you to know that the word Lord in the original Greek is capitalized, which meant, I am your servant. Whatsoever you are, whatsoever you want, I will do. Lord, Lord, have patience with me and I will pay thee all. Man, there must have been a tremendous breaking up of this Lord. He understood the dimension of worship, and he understood the dimension of the cry for forgiveness. For he says, then the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion and loosed him. And instead of him having to even work to get his debt paid, the Bible says, forgave him the debt. You can't qualify this in any other dimension than utmost grace. He owed the bill. The Lord had a right to even to sell him to get the payment, and his wife and his family and all of his goods. But it was one thing not only to make an arrangement for him to pay him back. That would have been grace. But the Bible says he forgave him all his debt. Now I want you to know something, that you owed the Lord a tremendous amount. But Jesus Christ forgave, as even in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our debts. Don't pray the rest of it, because then you'll get into my message. As we forgive our... Huh? Have you ever prayed that? Huh? Have you ever prayed that? Oh, Lord, please forgive my debts, period. That's not the law of God. The law of God is, with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. Sure. And he can't change it. No. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And so he said, look, if you want forgiveness, forgive. Yes, he said it. I didn't say it. He said it. All right, what happened? And so, the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which only owed him 100 pence. Or it's supposed to be about 17 cents, not hundreds of thousands of dollars worth. Just 17 measly cents. Most of you would spend that at the gum rack and never even think a thing about it. A measly 17 cents, that's all. But what happened? And he laid hands on him, took him by the throat, saying, pay me what thou owest. And his fellow servant, one just like himself, fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience on me, and I will pay thee all. Same cry for forgiveness. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when the fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry. And they came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Now, I sang this morning in this service, and you sang it along with me. 'Tis grace that brought us safe thus far, and grace will lead us home. But there is a qualification to that grace. Grace cannot maintain its character as grace except we are full of grace to our fellow man. A law of God. What happened? When the Lord found out about it, then his Lord, after he had called him and said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all thy debt because thou desirest me. Shouldst not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And he was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise, your heavenly Father, you know, there's some parts of the gospel that we don't like to preach. We don't like to read, but there it is. There it is. So likewise, your heavenly Father, do also unto you, if you from your heart forgive not every one of his brothers their trespasses. You can lose your grace by not ministering grace. Let's bring it down to a very practical application for just a moment, can we? How can I be sure that when I have a need, that God is satisfied with what I am spending of Jesus, that I might get my prayer answered? Right here, the devil's going to shake. By the way, the little man, 75 years old, that loves me to talk to the devil on the TV, was in the service this morning. He finally made it and sent me a beautiful little note that he was here and came up and introduced himself afterwards. He just loves it when I say, sorry about that, Satan. And I'm really not sorry at all. Yeah. If Jesus could do what he did to the devil and not be sorry, I'm not sorry at all when I expose him. But how can I begin to know that instead of praying so much, I can receive back in like measure to what I give? You see, praying basically is in the dimension of begging and asking and pleading. But wait a minute, Jesus said it's just the opposite. For with what measure you meet, it's going to be measured back to you again. Wow, how many would like to have Jesus use this as a measuring cup when he starts to measure back to you again? Woo! Even so, Lord, make it so. And I got a bigger one in the kitchen if you want to see it. That's the way we want our graves. Jesus said, you can have it. You can have any dimension of me you want. But it's completely counterbalanced on what you give. With what measure you meet, it's going to be measured to you again. There is a quality of God that comes to us by new birth that is givable. It even precedes salvation to the person that you're ministering to. The basic quality of God, character of God, is love. Love. God is love. God is love. Now, when it boils all down to the end of our praying, we want the love of God to minister back to the dimension of our need. And God says you can even have it without praying, in a sense. Oh, you may have to pray to love somebody that you don't want to love. But the Holy Spirit is the reservoir of God's love. And he indwells you. He indwells you. I can name you a half a dozen people that I'm just loving these days. Boy, one of them smells like a tobacco factory. Foul mouth. He tolerates me. He certainly doesn't love me. But I have the most peculiar, unnatural affection for that man to love him in God. And as of today, I'm a little bit selfish in my love. Because God gave me a commodity that if I will dish it out, it'll be dished back to me in the same measure. Some of you didn't take my advice this morning and turn around and shake hands with somebody else. Or smile to somebody else. Yeah, you're going to take your mule face home with you. Well, I'm going to tell you, if you wear a mule face, you're going to get a mule face stuck right back in your face. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Plus the ears. Thank you, sister. Yeah. And there's a few other things that go with it. Let's don't mention the rest that goes with a mule. No. But wait a minute. Wait a minute. Did you know that there are people right in this room that are suffering for the lack of love? Yes, they are. They're suffering. And you're suffering because you didn't give it. And you've had Oral Roberts, Catherine Kuhlman, and we could name the whole list of them pray for you. And you went home and you said, I can't figure out why God doesn't heal. Because with what measure you meted out, it was being measured back to you, and Jesus told the story that even your heavenly Father has to do it that way. Boy, this meeting ought to turn into a revolution where we'd be chasing everybody down until we couldn't stop trying to see how much love we could spend on each other. Because somebody in this meeting tonight's going to love somebody else and get healed of a cancer and get healed of all kinds of things. Why? Because with what measure you meet, it's going to be measured right back to you again. I'm thinking of an illustration I've told before. The little lady was right here in the service this morning. She suffered from stomach ulcers to the degree that she ate baby food 3 times a day. Gerber's baby food. And I can still see Olita come to the platform Sunday after Sunday and perhaps not even a service go by. And she'd come up to the front and she'd cry. She'd stand right in front of me and break down and bawl. And she'd say, Brother Ray, I can't stand the pain. What am I going to do? I can't live with the pain. And she was an executive secretary. She still is in the Lockheed Corporation and had to take baby food to lunch. Everybody knew it. She had stomach trouble. And I prayed for her, this is not exaggerating, dozens of times, and so did everybody else. One Sunday morning, I'll never forget it, as long as I'm on this earth, and perhaps through the ages of eternity, I'll never forget how God moved. She came, as usual, crying as usual, pleading for one more prayer to see if God wouldn't answer. When right down under my right, there was a little girl about 16 years old sobbing. And I said, Alita, I'm not going to pray for you. I want you to go down there and put your arm around that girl and minister to that girl. And as God is on the throne, he bears me witness. Alita went down there and she was still crying, so she could cry right along with the little girl. She began ministering Jesus to the little girl. And found her pain was gone. And it's been gone ever since. With what measure you meet, God's waiting to measure back to you again. I'm awful sorry about it. God is having to use that quarter of a teaspoon an awful lot these days. You know it. Because some of you have desperate needs tonight. You've been pleading for a surcease from your pain, for a victory. And God says, where is that little bitty measuring spoon? A touch, a blessing, but not deliverance. But wait a minute. No one in the world can measure the capacity of God that lies within you, that's waiting to minister to the next person, literally giving God. I'd like everybody in the room to hold up your hands, will you? Hey, get them up, that's right. Boy, this is the biggest stick up we've ever had. Is that the highest you can get them? Come on, get them up. Good. Did you know that the same spirit that you want to heal you can flow out of your hands to heal somebody else? Mark, the 16th chapter says, lay hands on the sick and the Lord will raise them up. Why did God obligate himself to that law? Because he couldn't break his law. If you don't measure, if you don't go out and give, God can't give back to you. So he put himself into the limitation of your hands. And I've never known a great person used in divine healing circles that didn't use his hands. Spending himself. Touching and ministering himself. And with what virtue healed, that virtue flowed back again and healed. I realize that I've only begun a message. Why? Because now we should talk about how much of God and what are the dimensions of God that can be ministered. But I don't believe that that's really important to this point tonight. I believe we all know that the love of God is ready to be administered, and that the grace of God for the forgiveness of sins. This morning, we took a darling little babe in our arms, and all we did was bless it. That's all. Just bless it. And before the meeting was over, the mother came and stood before me, and she said, I'm backslidden. I'm away from God. And I got to get back to God. Brother Jacques, will you pray? And standing right down there, we gave ourselves to bless the name of the Lord. And before it was over, she gave herself back and got right with God. Oh, what's out there for you? Can you measure the dimension of the need that's right outside your door? If you can begin to evaluate the dimension of the need, you can begin to evaluate how much of God's going to come back to you. Boy, I got to say that again. I like to hear myself say those things. That's good preaching, Ray. Amen. There are millions right outside of our doors in desperate need of God, and we've got God. In the measure we meet those needs, it shall be measured back to you again. That's the law of God. I feel sorry for most of you that aren't pastors of this church. Man, I've got to dig, I've got to study, I've got to pray so that I can give. And when even the doctors say you shouldn't be doing what you're doing and you can't do what you're doing and it's impossible for you to keep on doing what you're doing, you know what? I don't live by bread alone. He's only a bread analyzer. Sure. I live by the word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Heads bowed, eyes closed. There isn't any doubt about it that there's been most of you that are listening and most of you that are in the auditorium tonight. As we've just passed through the Christmas season, have wished that you could give more than you gave. That's always a true heart. Oh, I wish I had $100 to spend on this one and $1,000 to spend on that one. Oh, the need of this one over here. But I want you to know that you can give away the greatest power, the greatest gift of the universe. You have the very person of Jesus that you can give. Oh, not just in works. I'm afraid for some of our boys that work around here and our girls that work around here that sometimes just the physical labor becomes a substitute for giving away Jesus. Sometimes we can be so busy for Jesus that we never give away Jesus. And there is a difference. We have some of our fundamentalist circles that are so full of works that they don't know anything about power. Oh, but works, right up to the nth degree, full of works. But wait a minute, it isn't works only that he's looking for. No, it's what you give away. For in the same measure that you meet, it shall be measured to you again. Without anybody looking, I want somebody to take a hold of one of the cameraman's hands, will you? Come on. I think this is awfully important. Most of the time they're listening to a voice that speaks from the master control and tells them what to do on those cameras, and they miss even the message. But you've got Jesus to give them tonight. Father, I minister to the television crew. Right straight down the line from the audio to the visual to the director. And right up on top of Mount Baldy tonight and right into the taping room. I minister Jesus to you. Receive the Son of God. In unmeasurable dimension. Wow. I like that. Now will you put your hand into the persons next to you, and if you're there in your home, how about slipping over to dad or mom or son or daughter? If you haven't anybody to hold hands with, put your hand on the television wide open so that you can join hands with us. And we're going to do something very unique here. Supernatural, divine, almighty. With what measure we meet, it shall be measured to us again. You that have desperate needs, I want you to pray for the person next to you. But pray in the dimension of your need. Come on, Father, I minister to this congregation. I minister to television tonight. Lo, I bring you Jesus. I deliver to you Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in all of his glory, in his healing, saving, supernatural power. I give Jesus his matchless love, his infinite compassion, his limitless grace. I minister Jesus. Receive Jesus. Somebody out there got healed. I see a dark-haired lady, and I've never done this before on television, but I see a dark-haired lady with short-cropped hair whom the doctors this week said, you're going to die with cancer. And I have ministered Jesus to you. You can't die with cancer because Jesus is your healer. Take him right now. There's a young man that's 17 years old that don't think life's worth living. You've got blonde wavy hair right down on your shoulders. If you had a gun, you'd blow your brains out. You don't need to take that way. I give you Jesus as Savior tonight. I said, I give you Jesus as the answer. Young man, stretch your hand out right there towards that television set and take Jesus. Lord Jesus, I take you into my heart. I plead for forgiveness of my sins. I ask you for the blood to wash away my sins. And you know it happened. You know that it did happen. I gave you Jesus. Hallelujah.